Hey guys, welcome back to Maintaining the Meat in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm LaShawna, and today we have a special guest, Sandra Barranco. She has two kids, 6 and 3. She's been married for 10 years, and they've been together for 18 years, so we'll get some tea on that. She's a financial planner, and she has a dance studio. She owns it. So we're going to be getting right into it. Say, hey, Sandra.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem. So today we were trying to figure out what we're going to talk about. And because she does finance, and I actually met her through a friend of mine, my good friend Dina, my bestie for like 20 years or more. We met and we hung out after the event, went to an event where she works, and we just clicked. And I'm like, you got to come on and talk about this, women in finance. So she's going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about her family and how she juggles and balance, so that she can give us some tips on how she balances owning a dance studio and doing being a financial planner and being a wife and a mother of two. And so just to give some tips on, you know, how we get this whole thing started with this marriage and this motherhood. So Sandra, tell me a little bit about yourself. Sorry, you're not from California.
No, born and raised in Miami. I moved out to California when I was 20 years old. Went to Mount St. Mary's College, all girls school. Best decision for me. Gotta keep myself in line. Right. No boys around. It's right. A good thing.
Yeah. So was your, you said you've been with your husband for 18 years. So yeah. Was he still in Florida?
Actually, he's younger than me. He said that I was his, like, I'm like a cougar. Yeah. I rob a cradle, whatever. He was a senior in high school, and I was a freshman in college in Florida. And he got a scholarship to come out here to Art Center.
Okay.
And I, at that point, was so over Miami. And I figured, if I'm a city girl, where else would I go? Not New York. So I decided to come out here to California. Okay. And we've been together ever since.
Wow. Awesome. And so once you got married, well, did you have your dance studio first? Like, how did that all happen?
So I worked at the dance. I was an English teacher.
Okay.
I taught high school for a year and a half. Half meaning I quit in December because those kids were bad and I couldn't take it any longer. I could not. I'm sorry. If you are a teacher out there in the world, God bless your heart. That is probably one of the hardest careers. That's all I have to say. Man, so I had to let that go. But then I became a dance teacher.
Okay.
And I taught, at the time, 3 different dance studios. I felt like a little Jamaican. That's what we call them back home. Because right. Jamaicans had like 1,000 jobs.
Right. Right.
I would drive left and be like, dang it, the studio I'm supposed to go to is the one on the other side. So I taught there at 3 different studios for a while. And I knew that my glass was half full. I loved being a dance teacher because the kids loved being in class,
right.
Which was completely opposite from when you were teaching high school, because those kids did not want to be there.
Right.
So I really enjoyed being able to give back to the children, giving them a safe place to be, and having freedom. So if I wanted to go on vacation or whatever the case, I could just tell the teacher and they would get a sub. Super easy, like nothing. But I still felt like I was meant for more. At that moment, one of the owners of this, one of the dance studios I worked for, she moved to North Carolina, and she said, do you want to buy the studio from me? And I said, yes, because, you know, I feel like God always opens doors for you when you're ready.
100%.
And at that moment, I was ready to do it, so I jumped right in. I bought the studio from her, and I've owned it for almost 9 years. It'll be nine years in March.
Awesome.
It's been wonderful.
Awesome. So what type of dance do they do at your studio?
We do mostly ages 2 to 18. We do have a couple adult classes, but it's a traditional dance studio. Ballet, tap, jazz, hip-hop, contemporary, competition team.
So do you teach at all?
Oh, I haven't taught since I was pregnant with my first child.
Okay.
So for me, unlike some dance studio owners, my focus of having the studio was for it to be self-running.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I am meant to build businesses.
Right.
And I've always wanted the quality of time and freedom.
Right.
To be able to be with my kids. You know, like, if you work a 9-to-5 and you get the phone call from the school, your kid has a fever, what do you need to do? You have to leave work.
Right.
And I needed to make sure that whatever it is that I did, I had to have that flexibility so I can be there for the kids when they needed me.
Exactly.
So now my dance studio has been self-running for about 2 to 3 years now. I've got staff, teachers, they come in, they do what they need to do, and I don't really need to be there anymore.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome. So how did you get into finance?
Well, that's God opened up another door for me. One of my dance studio teachers, she's also an agent at the firm, she was inviting someone to an event, and at that moment, I was making really good money, but I was not doing the right things. I wasn't making the right choices with my money. Okay. I spent as if I didn't have kids. I was everything that I was doing before the kids existed, I was still doing. Amazon boxes at my door every 2 seconds. And I felt like, well, my credit cards aren't looking good. I know I'm making good money, but I'm not saving. I'm not putting a lot of money away for the kids for college. So I felt like at that time I needed a financial professional to slap me upside the head and say, listen, Sandra, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
So I went to this event. I had my notepad. I'm learning things. I'm like, man. And I was so angry that being 35 years old, mm-hmm. no one ever took the time to say, hey, Sandra, can I show you what maybe you're doing wrong with your money or how you can better, you know, make better decisions with your money.
Right.
I have a trust fund that my dad left for me, God bless his soul, mutual funds. My family invests in real estate, but yet none of them said, do you want to sit down and learn what we're doing?
Right.
Because my mom, all she was focused on is taking care of us.
Right.
She wasn't educated. My dad knew everything. He dies. He didn't teach her anything. So she wasn't able to teach me. And I feel like that's how majority of people's households are. Yes. Like, if you don't know, you're not teaching your children.
Right.
So I think it's so important that as parents, we learn everything that we can to make sure that our children are one step ahead of us. And not having them do these same things that we're doing, making the same mistakes that we're making.
Right.
So I felt like it was important for me to learn so I can make the change so that my children at 35 years old aren't looking back going, man, I don't know what to do with my money. I don't know what to do with my money. I think that's like, we learn European history.
Right.
But yet we don't know how to do our own taxes.
Right.
We don't know how to get a good rate of return. All we know is the bank. So I was angry when I was sitting in this workshop, being a grown woman with kids, living the quote unquote American dream. Yeah, I got the house on the hill. I own my own dance studio. My husband's in the entertainment business. I've got two beautiful, healthy daughters. But then what else?
What else?
What else, right?
And what's more? Like, what more can you do? You know what I mean? It's like, and financial freedom is like to be able to do everything, but it's not something that, like you said, it's not taught. It's not taught in most households. It's like everybody, like our parents, like we're doing, is we're just trying to survive. We're mm-hmm. trying to make it. We're trying to, you know, just get through the day, get the kids home, make dinner. Like, we're on this kind of schedule. And it just goes on for years and years mm-hmm. and years.
And money's a dirty word.
It people don't talk about it.
You don't
want to
talk about it. You don't want to talk about all the things that you're doing wrong. You know, and it's like, we don't really know what's going on in people's households. Yeah, they may have nice shoes. They may have a nice car. But what if they're like swimming in over $200,000 of student loan debt, credit card debt, just to, like the persona of looking like you're doing okay.
Right.
And it's like so stressful. Marriages break up, you know, like people are angry, frustrated. People kill themselves over money.
Over money.
And it's like, and so I call myself kind of like a financial counselor. Because if you're married uh-huh. and your marriage is going through some hard times, mm-hmm. you should go see a therapist, right? It's recommended that you see a professional in order for you to kind of save your marriage.
Right.
Well, that's what we do. That's my job. Right. I am that for money.
Right.
I can save your marriage when it comes to finances. You don't have to fight about it any longer. I've got your back. Because sometimes some people just need some guidance.
That's it.
Some help. Help me.
Right.
How do I get out of it?
Because you have good intentions.
Exactly.
You have good intentions. People don't want to be broke. They don't want to, you know, spend all their money on bullshit. It's just that you're kind of, you know, getting through life, just, you know, making bad decisions that you don't want to talk about or face. And especially in our community with mm-hmm. Black people do not like to talk about money.
No.
Because they really don't know. A lot of people don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, especially in marriages, I feel like, especially with women and men that get together and it's not something that's talked about, but it's what you break up over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many marriages end over finance. But when you got together, most people are not talking about that. They're talking about the love.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. how much they love each other and the lust and the attraction. But then it's like, okay, how do you know this person knows how to pay bills? How do you know that they know how to save? How do you know what their future is going to be? How they're going to be able to sustain it? I think that when you're thinking about marriage, people are not, they don't even know what to expect.
Yeah.
So then it's like you get with somebody, especially when you're young,
mm-hmm.
you get with somebody, you're all in love, they're cute, you know, the kids might come out cute, you know, you're just thinking about all that
true.
Kind of stuff. And then it's like you're in a job at that time, but then when you get older, as you get older, you're for one, your preferences change. So you may want a career change. Most people change their career.
Multiple times.
So it's like, what if it's something that doesn't pay as much as it used to? You know, or if it's something that you have to go to school for, so you can't work as much because you have to go to school. So I think that just, and all of those are financial decisions, you know, so I think that if more people would, more couples would be able to talk about it with someone, like going to a financial counselor, it does seem like it would make things a lot easier.
Yeah.
And be willing. Yeah. Because people, even if, when though you're married, sometimes, you know, it's like, well, that's my money and that's your money. Like, I don't want to mix my money. You know, it's like.
That's fine, too.
Yeah, and that's fine. As long as you're on the same page.
Yes, I always, you know? I always say, like, and that's how my husband and I are. I do my thing with my money. He does his thing. We are in two separate vehicles. But you better believe that the GPS navigation system is taking us to the same place. We're going to the same location. Right. And everybody's different. And in regards to being married, you know, it, like, as a grown-up, I'm sure women are like, all right, now you have to be good-looking. I need to see your credit score, right? I need to see what your debt is like, right? It's not just, it's not that simple anymore. But when you're falling in love with someone, when you're in high school, Gus to this day, my husband, he's like, you bamboozled me. I thought you were a freak and you lied. You bamboozled me. Right? But it's like, that's true. That's like when you fall in love with someone, you're not worried about debt and bills and student loans. Bad habits.
Right.
So many bad habits that eating out. People spend thousands and thousands of dollars just at fast food restaurants.
Yes.
Just at fast food. Like, I sit down with families and they're like, yeah, you know, when I pick up my son, the minute I get him, pick him up from school, he's hungry. And then we go to Wendy's. And then I eat at Wendy's. And before you know it, boom, $15. Now, let me not get started about Carl's Jr. We, you know, just him, my husband and I, we'll go to Carl's Jr. $25 on a damn burger.
Seriously. It's like a restaurant.
It's insane. So.
And don't have multiple children.
Yes. Yes. Well, my kids get the four-piece stars.
Exactly.
They're in the back. Like, no.
It's $60.
I want bacon on mine, please. It's crazy.
Chick-fil-A, you're spending $60.
100%. So, and it is one really meal. Stressful. It's really stressful because you want to be able to live your life,
right?
You know, YOLO or whatever people say, happily, comfortably. Right. But sometimes you just have to make small sacrifices up front to get what you want better long-term.
Right.
And that leads to the idea of retirement. Too many people are living to today, and they're not focused on their long-term goals.
Right.
And that's what makes me nervous. And that's the main reason why I wanted to go to the event. And at the event, how I got into financial planning. At the event, the broker who owns the office that we're at, she mentioned that they're looking for more people. Mm. And that's when the light bulb went off. And I was like, ooh, Jesus. That there is the door again opening. I was actually looking for another stream of income. My kids are in school, the dance studios. There's only so much money my dance studio can make.
Right.
It's in the South Bay, for those of you who remember, like, Torrance. Yeah. But if you live in Torrance, there's studios in Torrance, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach. The parents can choose wherever they want to go. It's like a rock throw away.
Right.
I literally know every studio owner in my area.
Wow.
They're so close. Yeah. I've worked at most of them too.
Right.
Right. So for me, I will never get my income potential owning a dance studio.
Yeah.
I get the quality of time that I want. I get that freedom.
Right.
But I needed something else that would bring in more money, but I would still be able to do as I please to take care of my family. So I needed to, you know, 1099, you know, financial planning, top in the industry. I had my ear going, ooh, you know, I'm not a financial professional, but I will learn. Do you know how many people go back to school in their 30s, 40s, wanting to be a nurse? So
a total career change. Total
complete career change. So here I am, 35, thinking, almost crying over it. I was like, do I want to, like, learn something new? I don't know if I want to learn. I don't even want to go to the gym. Am I ready for this? Right? I can't. I don't know if I want to commit. Like, maybe I'll just spend less. Maybe we'll go on vacations less. Maybe I'll just never get that car that I want. And then I found myself lowering my expectations because I didn't think in my head I could do more, do better. And I feel like that's a problem for a lot of families.
It is.
People tend to put themselves in this box and they're like, it's okay. Maybe we weren't meant for this. Maybe we weren't meant to be wealthy. Maybe we were never meant to go on trips. Why do we do that to ourselves?
Right.
California, the United States, unlimited income potential. The lands of opportunity.
Seriously,
right?
Though,
people
yeah.
are drowning in the damn ocean trying to get here yes. to give their families more. But yet, we live here and we are allowing ourselves to be in this box of comfort.
And content.
We don't want to, like,
but it's not
our
real,
muscles.
But it's not real contentment.
No, because they're really miserable.
You're miserable.
Miserable.
It's like you're really not content, so why not go for it?
And
what's
the
worst thing that can happen?
And then they talk bad about the people that are doing... Oh, I walk by first class. They're wasting money. They're wasting money in first class. I'll see the Mercedes Benz. I'll be like, that's a waste of money. Why are they wasting their money? But what am I really doing? Right? What am I really doing? I'm putting the people that are doing well down because I felt like I could never
get
there.
Get that. Right.
And we shouldn't be that
no.
way.
You should get what you want.
I'm
you
all
know?
Over the place with this.
So since you've been doing financial planning, what do you think for women, specifically, where do you think that they're kind of missing the ball? Like, where do you think, what have you noticed with the people that you work with, the families, what's like the most common mistake people are making with money?
Well, for one, with stay-at-home moms, mm-hmm. they don't truly know their worth. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge advocate for life insurance. My dad died when I was 5,
okay.
and he left us a good amount of money. Right. So when it comes to like the student loan debts and the car debts and things like that, I luckily never had to experience that
okay.
because he knew what he was doing.
Right.
He made sure that my mom has life insurance. He had life insurance. My sister and I both had life insurance. I didn't even know I had life insurance. I've had it forever.
Right.
My mom has been paying into it forever since I was little.
Right.
And that's the one thing that he did teach her. So when he passed away, he was able to allow our family, my mom never, she's a very sick woman. She has sickle cell anemia.
Okay.
And she wasn't able to get a real job. So her job was to take care of us.
Right.
And even my mom, being a stay-at-home mom, she doesn't know her true value in the household, right? I've talked to women and they're like, well, I'm not really worth anything. It makes me so angry. I get so angry because what do stay-at moms do?
Everything.
My husband does not know how to wash his own clothes. We have lived in that house and had that same machine for 7 years. And to this day, he doesn't know how to turn on the dryer properly. Like,
right.
you know what I mean? So he needs me.
Yes.
For clean clothes. Grocery shopping.
Food.
Taking
eating.
Care of the kids. I'm a chauffeur. I'm a nurse. I'm a house cleaner. I'm a hairdresser.
I mean, and you make it possible for money to be made.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, even if you're not the one, like I remember when somebody said, it was like a rap quote. I think it was Drake. He was like, she wasn't shooting in the gym with you. Talking about like Kobe and Bryant and his wife. And I'm like, he obviously, because he's not married, and people that are not in marriages, they may not see the value that each person brings
mm-hmm.
based off of what they can provide financially. So it's like, well, yes, I mean, he's rich. So what will she have to do? She has nothing to do. Well, he really is focused 100% on his career.
Mm-hmm.
If he had to worry about how his kids were going to get picked up, who was going to be cooking dinner, if he had those things to worry about, he may not be the biggest
mm-hmm.
basketball player of all time. It's like you in your family, you provide value no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if the man makes more money or the woman makes more money. It's about providing value so that your family can be straight and balanced. It's a two-part deal. So it's like I've stayed home with my kids for 5 years. And no, I wasn't providing financially, but I was going back to school. You know, like I had plans. We were thinking more long-term.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with being a stay-at-home mom, you bring a lot of value because you're really the house manager, you know?
When you
you're
come
managing.
Home and your clothes are folded in the drawers, there wasn't a magical fairy doing
no,
this.
No.
There isn't a gnome living under the staircase, popping
Hello?
Out, doing your dishes, right? And now, all jokes aside, my husband is actually, he's a fantastic husband and a fantastic father. Like,
right.
Thank goodness.
Right.
For all you single moms out there, I do not know how you do it. If my husband doesn't walk through the door at 7:35 and I say, peace out, I would just die. You know?
Right.
But it's true. It's like, so when I sit with a couple and one's a stay-at-home mom and they don't know where anything is, or what they're, what the money is doing, or what bank they're with, or, you know, like, I don't know, does he have life insurance? How much is it with? What company is it for, with? You know, right. Like anything like that, or the 401ks. What happens is, if some, first off, men tend to die sooner than women anyway. Right, we right. are left out by ourselves, a widow, right. stressed out. You know, we don't know where anything is. You know, if there's no wills or anything and everything's, like, organized, the woman is the one that's going to be suffering. It's bad enough to have to deal with a loss.
Right.
Now you have to, like, scramble. I've heard too many stories of women having to move out of their homes mm-hmm. and move in with their moms or downsize or they move the kids from their schools because they couldn't manage. Maintain. Couldn't manage. Mm-hmm. So men out there, if you are going to die, you better believe you better have a life insurance policy so that your kids and your wife aren't left to struggle. Because even if the woman feels like they aren't worth anything, right? So that comes to the mothers being insured. I had a nanny. She would come 3 hours a day, 3 hours a day for 5 days a week. Yeah. She made more than me that I was paying myself at the dance studio.
Isn't that nice? I mean, yeah, it makes sense because, I mean, childcare right now is popping. Like, I mean, the amount of money that it costs per week.
It's insane.
Is insane.
Yeah. And me at the very beginning, so it took 5 years of owning a dance studio to start getting money back, which is super average
right.
for owning a business. It takes 5 years. Right. So, and then I was there every day. Mm-hmm. I had my kids, so I wanted someone to help me with the kids.
Right.
So I'm making nothing, but yet I'm paying thousands of dollars so that I could be at work.
Yeah.
So I real that at that moment is when I realized I had to get my money like
together,
figure it out, get this. And then once you, when you set your mind to something, man, magic happens because you're sick. I prayed to Jesus, dear Lord, we're in year 5. I'm making no money right now. Let something happen, please. Please. A dance studio closed and 10 brand new students came to my awesome. Studio. And at the time, tuition was $320 a month mm-hmm. per kid, unlimited. That was an additional $3,200.
Yeah.
That moment from there, smooth. It just did enough to boost me up. Boom. Now I have a salary. And I'm very blessed.
Right.
So, but anyway, I sidetracked.
But it takes that transition.
It takes a transition. But for the moms that feel like they're not worth anything, if you were not there to hire someone to do what it is that you did, fold the clothes, clean the house, pick up the kids from school, drop them off at their activities, have dinner ready, you're looking at like $100 a day.
Yeah.
A day. I had a nanny say she wanted $20 an hour. To take care of my kids. I was like, oh, no. No. But this is what people are paying.
That's what they're paying.
To have
and someone. Sometimes more.
It's nuts.
Because it's a salary. A lot of, you're getting salaries. So definitely, I mean, even if you are a stay-at-home mom, I mean, I would say, and I'm not trying to break nobody up, I'm not trying to get nobody in trouble, but just if you feel like you're undervalued, just one day, just don't do anything.
Word to your mother.
Don't do anything. Don't cook. Don't clean. Don't do anything.
I say don't do it for a week.
A week. Yeah.
See don't what happens. See what Wash happens. Your kids, though. Wash your kids.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, take care of the kids. Minimally, though. Feed them. Make sure. But just don't do anything. And I guarantee you won't make it 24 hours without your husband asking you for something.
Yes. 100%.
And then you will see. Because you have to. Sometimes when you make things so easy for people. They don't even realize your value because mm-hmm. you're there to do everything.
And you get taken advantage of.
And you get taken advantage of. So I feel like women, you have to put your foot down and you have to show your value. Just don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Stop doing the things that you know that you're doing, that you're bringing value to, things that you know that takes to keep the house going on a daily basis, just don't do it.
There have been days where he will walk into the house, come home, and he wouldn't say anything, but there would be no dinner.
Yeah.
So he's pulling out the corn, microwaving the
hello!
Corn.
Hello! Yes! You know, they will figure dog, it out.
Hot dog, corn, dinner. He doesn't say anything to me. Right. He sees my face.
Exactly. He knows. It's not
and
that
he figures it out. Maybe he has to open up a little can of Chef Boyardee ravioli. make it
but
work.
But he will figure it out.
But yeah, and luckily for me, he will save me.
Right.
Sometimes I take the keys and I wander Target for about an hour, just walking, walk through the store. They stay open late now, and just breathe.
You need that time.
Buy myself a nail polish or something.
Something,
and just
treat yourself.
Because I feel like mom care, we don't get enough.
No.
We don't care about ourselves enough.
And the kids, and I've been saying this since I started the podcast, kids, they are going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are going, people take care of kids. Your kids are going to be taken care of. But if you don't make it a priority to take care of yourself and be in control of your own destiny, it's fine if you do have, you know, somebody that can take care of you and you are a stay-at-home mom and you don't have to so much worry about bills. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. But not having to worry about it does not mean that you should not learn about it.
100%.
You should still learn about mm-hmm. it. You need to know what's going on just in case anything happens.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just because your husband, or say you're the one that's making all the money.
Right.
It's important for him to know what's going on too. Bad habits are on both ends.
Right.
You know, and you know, I've seen stay-at-home moms take the credit card and swipe. And it's like, and the husband just lets her do it. Or the husband has a gambling issue. Right. And because the wife has no idea what's going on with the money, before you know it, the house is gone. And they have no place to live. And it's like, I had no idea.
I had no idea. Because you're not handling the money. Yeah. So the money is just being spent.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, all this money is coming in. But money goes mm-hmm. out too. You know, you have to know how it's going in and coming out. Yeah. You have to be aware. You know, it's like, you don't want to ever be in a situation where you just have the wind knocked out of you. I know my mom has a friend who, she lost her boyfriend. They weren't married. They didn't have any children together. I think she had a son who was older. But they had been together for like 20 years, never got married. I don't know if they had any life insurance or not, but she wasn't working and she mm-hmm. hadn't worked in like over 10 years. And he was perfectly healthy, worked out. I mean, you would never, and he just got sick, went to the hospital, and never made it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shock to everyone. And she had not worked in 10 years. She had no idea, you know, so it's like that, it was a blow. And it's not because she didn't care about her life. It was just that she didn't think she needed to worry about it. And things just happen. And if you're not prepared for that, it took a long time for her to get herself on her feet.
Yeah.
You know? So like you said earlier, you know, you're dealing with the devastation of a death. And then on top of that, you have to handle bills and figure it out. And what if there is no money?
Yeah. Yeah. And that the one thing in life that's guaranteed is dying.
I mean, that's guaranteed.
And the question is, are you prepared for it?
Right.
You know, and you never know when. Like, I'm from Haitian descent. My mom's from Haiti. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very, very superstitious when it comes to, like, just talking about death. And, you know, if you have life insurance, that means, you know, you either want someone to die or you think you're going to die. And I was like, when I talk to my friends, I'm like, well, you are.
Gonna die.
You are going to die. The
and
question is
no
when.
And you have no control over it.
Yeah. So don't leave your children to suffer. Or, you know, your husband or your wife, don't leave them to suffer. If you are a stay-at-home mom and your husband looks at you and says, well, she's not worth anything because she doesn't make any money, but if she dies, you are clearly going to want to keep working. You're going to want to keep going to work.
Right.
So who's going to take care of your kids? Do you want to move your mom in to the house, or maybe your sister?
Or even if they can, because they may have their own lives that they're not able to do.
Or
that.
Do you want to hire someone to, like, help you?
Right.
And that's going to cost a lot of money. And man, that life insurance definitely could make a difference.
Right.
Pay off your mortgage.
Yeah.
I have people pay off all their debts. Someone pass away, mortgage is paid off. Mm-hmm. Now they don't have to worry about mortgage. Car is paid off. Now they don't have to worry about car. College is paid off. Their kids have, you know, cars now. You are able, the fact that I did not have a dad my entire life, at least he can look down upon me and go, well, I died when you were five.
Right.
But you never in your life had to worry about money. That's the least that I could have done for you.
Right.
My mom cannot work. She's in and out of the hospital all the time. You don't mm-hmm. even want to see what her medical bills look like. My mom's medical bills is like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Thousands upon her life insurance is like mm-hmm. $2,000 a month. Just her, not life insurance, her medical insurance. Her medical insurance.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's insane how much money it is. So how would we do that?
Right. It's like planning ahead.
And it's not fun to do. Planning ahead's not fun.
And finances are just not fun.
Oh,
people
I mean,
do not.
They're fun for me now. Yeah. They weren't fun before, but now, you know, and it's like, and I'm still a work in progress.
Right.
That's what I love so much about this, the company that I'm with, is a lot of people say, well, your finances have to be perfect in order for you to help other people's finances. But I'm able to grow and get better, and I'm urged to practice what I preach.
Right.
You know, like, put the little blinders on. We are not stopping for fast food. We are not stopping for fast food.
Exactly.
Right? You know, and it's like so good for me to be in an environment that wants me to be successful, and to the point where I can get on a plane, pass someone in first class, and know one day I'll be in first class too.
Exactly.
You know, and not look at them and be like, they're wasting their money. No, they're not.
They're not.
I just want to be
there
too.
They're living good. They're living good.
Just
so
jealous.
How do you balance, I know with the stance that you really don't have, it runs itself now.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, when you were working, when you had the children, how was that balancing, like with your husband, your kids, your career? Like, how do you make it all work?
Yeah. It was pretty basic when it was just the dance studio and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when I threw the financial planning into the mix, it got a little interesting.
And how did your husband feel about that? Did you talk about it to him? Did you come up with a decision? Like, how did that go?
Our relationship, I'm an alpha female. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I would be called.
Yeah.
I think I'd be called an alpha female.
Yes.
My husband is chill.
Right.
Super chill, super passive. I make all, wherever, anywhere in the world I want, like vacations I plan. You know, I wanted the house. I put, you know, I was like, boom, we're getting the house. I called the realtor. Like, I make all, like, the crazy, insane decisions. He's a lot more chill. He says he makes the important decisions, but he hasn't really made a whole lot of decisions lately. So I guess I'm making a lot of little decisions.
Exactly.
So he's real chill. So when I came in, I told him I had this opportunity to, you know, learn more about finances and possibly become a financial professional. They would teach me along the way. Just had to get all my licenses. He was cool with it. Like, who's going to say, no, I'm not down with you making more money?
Because
it's all about the legacy, right?
Right?
We're trying to build a legacy for the kids.
Right.
Follow my father's footsteps. And but when you're helping families with their finances, it's a lot of later nights.
Right.
You can't sit down with someone until they're home from work. I've had appointments at 9 p.m. Sometimes I don't get home till 11. And that was hard for him. I used to FaceTime him and be like, look, babe, see, I'm not having an affair.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
I'm with clients.
I'm with my clients. Right? Because it's like, it was strange. So,
especially when they're used to you in one capacity.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, even if you think, because my husband, he's super passive too. I'm definitely an alpha female. And he can be an alpha male in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like, I know that I can run stuff to as long as he's like cool with it.
Yeah.
You know, like he really trusts my decisions.
Yeah.
He really trusts if we're looking, even when we were looking for places when we first moved here, it's like in those type of decisions, it's like I can pick a place that I really like and I know that he'll like it too. He can't pick a place for me. It's like he would still need me to say, do you like this? Like this is, you know, it's just a part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I feel that in all of that decision making and, you know, being an alpha female, I think that sometimes if we don't check in with them,
mm-hmm.
it makes them feel like, okay, now I have to.
110%.
Now I have to. Because if I work a little bit late, and it's like he's not used to me working late. So if I am, and he's just like, well, what about dinner? I'm like, what do you mean? Do you know how to cook? Like, what? But it's like that, now that will start to cause some tension. You know, it's like because you're not.
I'm not playing the role that I used to play.
Exactly. So they're not used to that.
We had a system. We had a system. It worked. You know, he got home. Dinner was ready. Like, you know, when the kids got older and was a little less stressful, we had a system.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what to expect. And he likes consistency.
Consistency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Like, down to, like, the days we do. Consistency. So what I had to realize before he had a mental breakdown was, one, ladies, share calendar.
Yes,
my
definitely.
iPhone, I'm sure you could do the Google calendars. Share calendar. So when I had an appointment, he would know as soon as I plugged it in, because nothing would frustrate him more than coming home with the expectations that I would be there. Yes. He is, I don't know if you guys have ever talked about the love language books or anything like that. So he's quality time and affectionate.
Okay.
Like he wants touch. I'm complete opposite, night and day. I am acts of service. Right. So fix something, build something.
Clean something.
Take care of your kids.
I'm tired.
And then just a little bit of gifts. You know, buy me something.
Right.
Right. So buy me food. That's my thing. Take me to eat.
Yeah.
So because he was that person, I needed to make sure that he knew where it was. If it put a, I had put a tracking device on my ankle, let him know down to the hour. I had appointment at 8 p.m. I have appointments this day. I have appointments this day, so that he is not surprised.
Right.
And once, and also like in the beginning, I was super excited about the business. I was like doing 3, 4, 5 appointments a day. You wouldn't see me. I was a ghost in the house. I was so busy. But not everybody believes in balance, but I believe in the situation that I am in at home because of my children, because of how my husband is. And ladies, if you have a good man, they're really hard to find. Mm-hmm. And my husband is not perfect because I'm a shit mess. So God bless him. But he's wonderful. And I don't want to make him angry because, you know, I'm off till all nights of the hours, you know, helping clients.
And just not being considerate.
Yes.
Because that's
the word. Being considerate.
Being considerate. It's like, it's not about checking in. You know, we're all adults. So it's like no grown person wants to feel like they're checking in or, you know, but I think that it is healthy to be considerate. And you have to understand that when things are changing, explaining a lot
lots of
what's going on. Okay, well, what is going on with this? And you can kind of feel it because my husband's the same way. He's not going to really say anything, but he will start to, he'll start getting annoyed. Mm-hmm. And so I can already feel it. I'm just like, okay, well, that's enough of that. Well, we're wrapping that on up. You know, so it's like, even if you are an alpha female, you know that when your man is not happy because of something that you're doing, it's time to make some adjustments.
Yes, make some, and thank goodness that we were able to figure it out.
Right.
Because even my kids were like, Mom, you're going to the office again?
And it stresses
them. Yeah, you're going again?
It stresses them out too.
And then now my husband is, now he's cooking dinner.
Right.
Because I was at the office from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock with appointments. So he's cooking dinner. He's bathing the kids more. And these are all, it's just like going to the gym. You don't start out with 10 pound weights, right? You start with 5.
Right.
But I went and jumped 50. I was like deadlifting like 1,000 pound weights. And it threw the whole household.
Right.
Even the dog was confused. Like they didn't, what is happening? I get dinner at 5 o'clock. Like, where is my food? So we talked about it. I dialed it down a bit. That doesn't make me any less successful.
Right.
I was just more strategic in making my appointments, more strategic in, you know, blocking out time for him, you know, and he works too. He works hard. He does a lot of freelance. Sometimes he's up till 2 o'clock in the morning on the computer. Right. If I want to spend time with him, I'm literally sitting on his lap while he's trying to draw around me. Like, you will see me, honey. I will be here. I want your time, you know? So it's like, we both have our things that we're balancing.
And I love that. I love that you're making it work. And I think that I'm glad that you're even bringing that up, because I think people don't understand like how to do it, because there's not one way. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's not one way. We can't teach people how to do their family. It's like, it's not what you do.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't teach people how to make their lives work with like, well, first, you know, you wake up in the morning, you make breakfast, you know, he takes out the trash. It's not that simple. It's like, and it changes over time. 1 year, you're a stay-at-home mom and everything is done. And then the next year, you've got your job that you went to school for. And now, you know, the times are changing and the kids are getting older and their demands are more. You know, when they're little, you can kind of just, you know, pack their bag, get their snacks.
It was so simple back
then. So simple. But as they get older, then they have homework and now we're putting their schedule. So it's like all these schedules have to be balanced.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely something that should be talked about more. With finances, and how to find that balance. And I'm glad you brought up the love languages. It's so important people don't spend enough time learning about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you spend all this time trying to find out what he likes and what, you know, but it's like you really have to learn yourself. You can only sustain a relationship as long as you can be yourself. As soon as you're giving too much of yourself up for too long, it's going to break.
100%.
You know, it's like you have to, you want to do the things that you want to do too, and you want to have your partner be able to do the things that they want to do as well. So it's learning how to have that balance within the balance.
And sometimes it's just being left alone.
Yeah.
Oh man. To let, like, I wish, if you are young and you are listening to this, enjoy your time. Please.
Enjoy your single.
Go travel the world. You know, really, I mean, save. Start saving young, 100%. Like, that's my financial plan for you. If you were in your 20s and you saved just $100 a day, you would be, like, a multimillionaire by the time you are ready to retire if you had the right vehicles for your money. So that's my little financial tip. Don't waste time. Start saving as much as you can now. But once you have the husband and the mortgage, the American dream sometimes feels more like a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, the kids, the house.
And it's unpredictable. Ugh. It's very unpredictable.
And it can be not, it's not fun a lot of the time.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
And I love my kids, but man, man, sometimes I look at them and I go, maybe this was the wrong choice for me. Maybe I wasn't meant for this motherhood thing. Maybe.
Right.
I don't say this to their face, of course.
Of course.
But there are times where I want to punch a kid right in the throat, in my head. And it's just like, I just have to take a second. Well, take a step back. And then Liana's like, Mommy, you mad? You're not happy? No. I'm not happy right now. I am about to blow the F up.
Yes. Woo! Exactly. And I think that more women, we could talk about that. You know, it's like, you just because you're a wife and a mom doesn't mean that this is like all that you want to do in your whole life and that you're just so happy about doing that all the time. It's like sometimes when you are married, you want to be single.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
like no husband, no kids.
No. Sometimes you fantasize about what you would be doing and those are the things that kind of keep you going. It's like they keep you going to be able to fantasize sometimes like, oh my God, if I didn't have these kids and this husband,
what would I be doing?
I could be doing this, and I could be doing that, and I could be doing this, and I could be doing that. You don't want to stay there too long.
No, you can't. You can't.
But you want to be able to kind of just, you know, get that good feeling going. And then it's like every time I do feel that way, it seems like it's something that I'll meet my husband for. Mm-hmm. And it can be something so small.
Like opening up a spaghetti jar.
It's just like...
That damn spaghetti jar.
Or when I'm sick and I don't feel good and I'm like, I really need some medicine or I really need something from the store or whatever. And he's just like, oh, I'll go get it. I'll grab it. It's like you have to plan even in your relationships for when you're older. It's not going to be easy every day where everybody's just getting along and, you know, and you're trying to fix. It's like sometimes just let that shit go.
Yeah. And remember that after your kids leave the house, it's just you and your husband.
That's it.
So you make sure that you have nurtured that relationship so when you are alone again,
right,
you actually enjoy each other's company and you've built something. You're always setting down the cement, the brick, and you want to have like a good relationship. It's nice to talk about it out loud, just like talking about money. When you talk about it out loud, it kind of like little light bulbs go off. And as I talk about like my relationship with my husband and how I am with the kids, it brings me back to the present on things that I need to continue to work on.
Right.
To be better.
Right.
And that's the goal. Like, no matter where you are in your life, you always want to make sure that you're growing.
Yeah.
And that you're better than you were yesterday.
Right.
Because if you're not growing, you're dying. I think Ed Milet said that. He's a fantastic guy that I like his podcast too. So, but it's true. Like you always want to be better. You want to always be better, a better mother, think ways to improve, ways to be a better leader in the household, you know, business owner, how to save more. I don't know, take better care of yourself, everything, all of that.
Yeah.
It's so important.
I agree. And I think that, and just being open to learning something new. Like, don't think just because you got married and you have kids, like, you're a professional about marriage and motherhood. It's a journey.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, things change. Your kids are going to do what they want to do. It brings stress to the house. It brings, you know, having kids and you having your own agenda and things that want to get done. It's just like, it's just life. Things happen. Yeah. People, you know, pass away and people lose their jobs and finances get tight. It's like, I feel like too, because I've been married for 11 years now, and I just, sometimes I take time to look back and reflect. It's like, at the end of the day, of course, you know, I have big goals and big dreams and my goals are always changing and expanding. But at the end of the day, I can live in a studio apartment with my family. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do that. If I know that it's, I'm going to need to take that setback to be able to get more, then I will do that. It's like, you have to make sure that you're not thinking so far ahead where you can't backtrack or you can't, you feel like you need all these things. You're spending all this money to really impress people, you know, where you have
impressing
to,
people you don't even like
or that don't like you. And so no matter what you do, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
You can't buy enough clothes. You can't shop enough places. You can't post enough pictures. It's like people that are set on not liking you or people that you're trying to impress. It's like people are living their own life. Whatever you do, they're not even paying attention anyway.
It's so true.
You know, it's like you really have to focus on yourself, your family, and making sure you're going to be good in the long term. You know? So do you have any tips for just for business owners, women business owners?
Don't give up. Before you open a business, though, make sure you have a plan, because that's one of the major things. A lot of, like, a McDonald's, for instance. We talk about this always at the firm. The reason why McDonald's is so successful is because they have a system. So if you want to open anything, whether it's a bakery or a retail shop, you need to have the right mentors. And I know for a lot of industries, it's hard to have a good mentor because they feel you as a competition. But I wouldn't be successful in my firm, my financial firm, if I didn't have the people in the office wanting me to be successful, you know, teaching me, educating me, helping me. When I have a client and they bring me, you know, things that they've invested in the past and I've never seen these companies before, I have people that I can go back to that have all the experience, and they then show me, and then I'm able to go back to my client with confidence and help them get to where they need to be, right? So, you know, if you want to open up a bakery, you obviously need to have, you need to know the trade. You have to understand, is there a need? Don't just say, oh, I want to open up something and there's no need for what you do. You're going to end up wasting your money. So really do your homework on it. Business ownership is a blessing. You get the quality of time that you want if you do it the right way. I'm probably one of the few dance studio owners that I know that do not go to competitions. We go, the competition goes, but I as an owner don't, I don't have to be there. I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
I have the desk manager, my teachers know what to do. You know, I've got a bookkeeper. That it's not perfect, but it's a moving system. The train is moving, but I don't have to drive it any longer. And I'm still working on ways for me to back out little by little. And that's the same thing with the financial firm. I'm planning on opening up an office eventually, having agents that I train, so I don't necessarily have to be out in the field as much. I am teaching other people to do what it is that I'm doing, and they can help families, and I can just have another system for me. So if you want to open up your own business, you have to have a system that you can make money while you are not there. So if you're a hairstylist, how can you have a business where you don't have to physically be doing hair to make money? You know, or else you're just self-employed. So if you want to be a business owner, understand the difference between owning a business that runs itself versus being self-employed. Because just because you're a dentist and you have a dental office, if you walk away for 3 days for a flu, are you making money while you're not there?
Like, and are you the main provider for the business?
Exactly. If you are not there, will you still be making an income? And I think that a lot of people that own businesses don't, they can't, they're not there. They're actually just self-employed in a box.
And they get stuck where you're just, you're working so much, you don't get to enjoy the money that you're making.
You're baking, you're there at 6 a.m. baking a damn donut. And then you're there mopping the floor when the place is clean. Like, yeah, in your heart, you know, you're doing something. That's that's step one. But now you have to get to the point where someone else is making the donuts. Someone else is cleaning the office. So you can go home and be with your family. You can leave the country. and know that donuts are being made, people are eating donuts, and the place is running. Yeah. That's it. Like, learning the difference between being a self-employed person and actually being a business owner. Because it's a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, just even in just how you explained it, it's definitely, that's a great tip. Because I know that there's plenty of people that do own businesses that feel stuck in their businesses, mm-hmm. you know, that are working so much where they're not seeing any headway, where it can feel like, why am I even doing this?
100%.
What am I doing this mm-hmm. for? You know? So that's a great, great tip. Anything else about, this is what question I do have, because now that you are, your business running itself and you have people there, how do you hire? Like, what is your tip on hiring people to sustain it?
Well, since that's a small business, my dance studio probably has about like 200 students. I have 13 teachers and 3 employees.
Okay.
It's all word of mouth.
Okay.
Here in California, there are so many dance teachers.
Right.
I get emails all the time. Like, I just moved into the area. If you want me to come and sub or whatever the case may be. But usually it's someone that knew someone, and mm-hmm. they don't always work out.
Right.
But, you know, it's when you own a business, mm-hmm. you are constantly recruiting.
Right.
Constantly recruiting. And I know sometimes the word recruit is like such a bad word,
right.
but it's true. You're constantly recruiting because if you're growing, you need more people. And then if someone leaves, you need a backup.
Right.
Like, my nanny quit. A couple months ago. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can't do it anymore. I can't help you on Tuesdays and Fridays. What was I doing? I'm on the hunt. I need a new nanny. I need a new nanny. Who knows someone
Body.
Who knows someone who
right.
knows someone?
Right.
Give me their number.
Yeah.
I need to recruit
right.
a new nanny.
Right.
So that's what I'm at the dance studio. I'm always looking for new like people to come in because the industry is youthful.
And life happens.
Yeah, people want to. What if they get a gig and they want to travel the world? So You Think You Can Dance. People are auditioning. You know, I've had teachers leave me and open up their own dance studio.
Right.
That happens.
It happens.
You know what I mean? And they're down the street. You know, and it's like, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried about you.
Right.
I have a list of people that I've sat with that are waiting for an opportunity. So, I mean, that's it. Just like word of mouth and test them out. Don't lock them in, like, on the first try. Like, yeah, for me, it's like, with a nanny, it comes with a lot. You don't want to leave your kids with a stranger.
Random person, yeah.
A random person.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you test them out, test the water, but they still may not work out.
Right.
What if they don't fold the way I like? You gotta fold the way I like, you know? So, like, little things like that. So, yeah, recruit.
And then what about for 2019? Like, what are two goals that you have for 2019?
That is something that I'm definitely working on. A business planning is something that my firm has taught me. I never had a business plan for my dance studio. I just kind of like went with the wind. And that's when I finally started having goals set,
mm-hmm.
That's when things started happening.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I want to make this much money. I want to have this many students. I want, you know, so, and I'm doing the same with the financial firm, but for myself and for my family, we're about to get into a renovation for our home.
Okay.
So our focus is like just getting surviving that.
Yeah.
That's like another thing. So many people like, you'll get a divorce with this renovation. You know, I'm planning on cramming all my kids into a one bedroom apartment, dog and cat included, you know, just so that who wants a mortgage and to pay rent, right?
Right.
So our focus is the renovation, but my husband and I, we've talked about financial goals, like what we want to work for, like what our family income as a unit is going to be for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We already know what our family income we want to like get for 2025.
Mm-hmm.
These are things, because if you don't have a target number, that's another thing that I offer too.
Okay.
It's called your financial independence number.
Right.
Because everybody wants to retire someday.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people don't know how much they're going to need to have the lifestyle that they want at retirement.
Right.
So you need that target number.
Right.
So, you know, that we're doing baby steps for that target number for our household. Like, how much income do we want? When do we want our mortgage to be paid off? Little things like that that people don't think of. Like, yeah, if you're in a 30-year mortgage, that doesn't mean you have to wait 30 years to pay it off. You don't. It's nothing but student loan debt and mortgages. I'm telling you, that could be a whole nother hour.
Yeah.
I get so irritated with the whole idea of, like, paying for school. It should be free, like most other
right,
countries.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, just... So we have our personal goals. I have one goal that I have that for my kids is trying to be more present. Mm-hmm. Social media is the worst, and it's so addicting. Mm-hmm. And when your child walks by you and, you know, she's like, she's on her phone again, you know, it's kind of like a side, but I was actually checking emails at the time, so mind your business, I was working because I could work on my phone, stop watching me. Exactly. But it's true, though. It's like, you know, the Instagrams and my Instagram, it's horrible. Like, I don't even know, like, 5 followers, right? But it's a work in progress because right. we have now there are so many things that take our attention from our focus. I should be reading better self-help books.
Right.
I should be listening to more podcasts right. on how to be a better wife, a better mother, right. a better business owner. But yet I'm scrolling.
Right.
My finger is just scrolling. scrolling. And what am I looking at?
Nothing.
So I have to like put the phone. On your phone, you can actually set like a time.
I did.
I had to turn that off. That. I was like, oh my God, my time is up already. Oh man, 1 hour a day. Not enough. It's a problem.
And they also show you your screen time.
Yes. I get it every week. It lets me know how many hours I've been on social
media. And I was like, oh my God, I have to. And
If I worked out the amount of times that I'm on Instagram, my body I would look bomb, abs, butt lifted, thighs tight. I should be at the gym the amount of time I'm on social media.
I'm so serious. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize I was on it that much. I mean, you're on it because every time you're waiting for something.
Yes.
Anytime you get a break, it's just like, oh, let me see what's going on.
Nothing is going on.
And I get so busy, you know, in the day, you get so busy, but you're still finding time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to definitely start reading more. I already have my books. I have a couple of books that I want to read. I'm like, I have to read. And then some books that I want to reread mm-hmm. because at different phases, like in the Four Agreements, it's mm-hmm. like, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to get back. I got to get to the Four Agreements again.
And you affirmations.
Know? Affirmations.
Yeah. That's one that I also learned at the firm, because when you're self-employed or a business mm-hmm. owner, nobody's really patting you on the back and telling you you're doing a good job.
Right.
So every morning, as soon as I wake up, my prayer is very short. It literally is, thank you, Jesus. And he knows the rest. He knows. Thank you, Jesus, for all the stuff that I don't have to say every single day. You know.
Exactly.
And then I go right into my affirmations. And, you know, it says things like, I'm an amazing mother. Mm-hmm. I'm an awesome time manager. I manage my time well. You know, like little things like that I have to tell myself, even though it's not perfect. But that's what I'm aspiring to be.
Right.
You know, I want to be an amazing wife, an amazing mother. I want to be a freak under the sheets. These are all things that I'm working on. These are all things I'm working on.
Well, thank you so much for coming. That was so fun. I love talking to you. I mean, we literally met and were eating and talking like all night. I was like, we have to. I mean, it's like an immediate click. So thank you so much for coming. And also tell them where you work. Like, you know, give them your handles.
Yes. Okay. So my social media, this mm-hmm. is the first time I've ever done that. My social media is Sandra M. Barranco is my social media. And I'm sure we'll find a way to tag it.
Yeah, I'll tag it.
And my office is located in Gardena, California. I do in-office and I do house calls if you ever need me to go to your house, because I know having kids is hard. But if you just ever need anybody to just sit down with you, look at what you're doing, how you need help. I do budgeting. Sometimes you just need someone to, your money needs a home. If mm-hmm. you don't have a home for your money, right. that means you're finding a home. And that's, for me, that was Amazon.
Exactly.
Some people, shoes. Some people, eating out. So
you're
literally
spending
it and not saving it. Right. So if you just need to have like buckets where, you know, like, this is my travel fund, this is my savings fund, this is where, you know, my kids' savings is going. Learn how to get a better rate of return for your money. Banks that offer higher rates of return. Bank of America savings account is 0.06%. Can you imagine? They're not even giving you 1%.
Not even.
And then they have the nerve to charge me fees?
Right.
They're taking money out of my pocket, but they're not giving me anything back.
Anything.
But there are banks out there that'll give you 2.25%, but people don't know where to find them.
Right.
You know, so if you're not, let me help you get educated so that you can then educate your kids and they can educate their kids. And then, amazing. You know, you can build a strong legacy for your family. And they can be like, great grandpa Joe, you know, he did this for me. He started my retirement plan. My kids have a retirement plan. My kids are 6 and 3. And I started them a retirement plan so that when they, you know, get big, they'll already have something in motion for right. them. You
and
know,
they're not starting over, because I feel like with our, in our community, and it's our fault, but it's not our fault. Like, of course, we're coming out of this and we're trying to educate. That's why I want to, you know, open up these conversations for people to just be aware, because yeah. a lot of it, we're just not aware of yeah. what's going on.
But you know what? It's our fault for not wanting
to know,
you know, like,
and staying a victim.
We could have this conversation. I could sit down with hundreds of people, but ignorance is not bliss.
It's not bliss.
And knowledge is only power when applied. My broker said that.
It's so true.
You can drag a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. I can have an amazing budgeting plan for you, down to the dollar. That's going to give you millions of dollars by the time you retire. But if you won't stop what you're doing now, and you won't save, and you won't cut that one McDonald's a week, or the Starbucks a week, or make the change, you're gonna regret it. Right. You know, you think those 72-year-old ladies working at Walmart, they wake up every morning going, thank you, Jesus, for my job at Walmart. This is what I wished for my whole life.
No, it's true. And we have to take responsibility and be accountable, because and it's the same thing like with marriages. If you come from a family where you don't know anything about marriage, or your parents weren't married, broken households, whatever, it's your responsibility to learn yeah. about relationships. Mm-hmm. I did
4 years of therapy, family counseling with my husband and myself.
Yes, I'm saying, because you want your marriage to work. Yeah. It's like there's things that you do that you have. If you get into a car accident, you're still going to drive.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn the rules. You're going to have to learn the law. Like, everything that you want, we just have to learn accountability. It's like, you may have been born into a family that didn't teach you, but you have to learn. Yes. You have to, and you cannot play the victim.
Yeah.
You can't stay comfortable in that victim yeah. spot.
It's no one's fault but yourself.
But yourself. It's like when you're a kid, yeah, it's your parents, you know, whatever. But once you get grown and you're responsible for your own life, it is your responsibility to take action 100%. And learn what you need to mm-hmm. learn.
So if you need me for anything, you're knee deep in debt, you can't even breathe, call me, because I will do everything in my power to help you.
Awesome. So I'm going to put her handles and her information in.
I didn't even know they were called handles.
Mm-hmm, little handles. I'll put that in the show notes.
I've
okay?
got love handles.
Yeah. Sandra's off the chain. Okay. Bye, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye.